God this morning. Hebrews chapter number 3. Hebrews chapter 3 in the Word of God. If you'll turn there, and we're looking forward to what the Lord has for us this morning. We welcome our visitors. We trust you'll get a blessing from being here. And each one of you, we're so glad that you made it out to the house of God. There's a myriad of things that we could avail ourselves to today, but nothing more important than being in God's house. Amen? And so I want to start reading this morning in Hebrews chapter number 3. And we'll start reading in verse number 7 and read down through several verses here. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. If you're there with me, say amen. The Bible says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart. They have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called a day, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom swear he that they should not enter in to his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief." Father, in Jesus' name, we need thy help this morning. Lord, now more than ever, we pray that you would, Lord, that you would arrest our attention, that you would behold this place, and that, Lord, you would help nothing to hinder the work you want to do. And Father, I pray that you'd cleanse me of my sin, that you'd empty me of self, that you'd fill me with your spirit. Lord, we pray you'd be with these stammering lips of clay. And when we're all said and done, we're going to be sure to give you all the praise, the honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've been in church very long, you're familiar with the story of the children of Israel's wilderness wanderings. How that they, God led them up out of Egypt, out of that bondage, out of being under those taskmasters, and led them up out of Egypt and across the Red Sea. And the intended destination was the land of Canaan. That's what God had for their life. That's what the Lord wanted to do with them, as some great things in the land of Canaan. Yet on their way to Canaan, they had to cross through the wilderness. And so just after God had led them across the Red Sea, in that great miracle, you'll remember he parted the waters and they walked across on dry ground. He drowned Pharaoh's army there in the midst of the Red Sea. And after that great miracle, they walk across on Red Sea. They come out right there on the brink, walk out into the wilderness. That wilderness should have been a short pathway through to the land of Canaan. But instead, it became a 40-year wandering. And what should have been just an 11-day journey into a brand new life with brand new opportunities instead turned into a 40-year judgment that was fruitless and barren and of none effect. And I want you to understand this morning that it was all because of disobedience and because of disbelief. And here in our text this morning, the writer is looking back, our text being primarily verse number 15. The Bible says in verse number 15, today, or while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation. And here in that text, the writer's looking back at those wilderness wanderings of the Israelites. He's looking back to that Old Testament time. He's looking back and he's using it here as an example and an illustration for you and I as New Testament Christians of still some things we need to watch for. Some things we need to pay attention to. And in fact, he repeats a phrase that's found. Hold your place here. Go to Psalm 95, the 95th Psalm, verse 7 and 8. Because Paul ultimately, or the writer of Hebrews ultimately, is repeating a phrase that's written and that was recorded all the way back in the Psalms. Verse number 7 and 8 of the 95th Psalm, "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the day of provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, as the people that do err in their heart, they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest." And so God had become angry with all those that came out of Egypt, because they would not believe and they refused to progress. Watch this. They refused to move forward. They refused to go on, continue on in their faith. But instead, they spent their life just wandering through the desert. And Christian, it's important that you and I understand something this morning. Please hear me. When God delivered you, and when God delivered me, when he saved us from our sin and brought us up out of that bondage and brought us up out of that life of sin, that which had us bound down, when he delivered us, we began on a journey. And while that journey might, no doubt, will involve some wilderness experiences, I want to say this morning. It's not God's will that we live there. It's not God's will that we stay there. It's certainly not God's will that we waste our life out there in the wilderness. But the Lord has something so much better for every one of us, just like he did those Israelites. But they could not obtain. God's plan for you involves more than just a mundane existence. There's so many people that when they got saved and now they sit soaking and souring, as so many have said, that they don't understand that, listen, that wasn't the... Some people think that their salvation experience was the beginning and the end all at the same time. Oh, no, friend, not at all. But listen, when you got saved and when God saved you, your Christian life was to involve more than just a mundane existence. It involves more than just a mediocre Christianity. Listen, it involves more than just running in circles like they were doing there in that wilderness. But there's a wonderful life to live. Hey, there is a land that God wants us to conquer. There's a legacy to leave. There are way too many people today that's just simply drifting through their life, just going through the motions. They may have a daily job that they go to every day, and daily duties that they have, some activities that they're involved in. They might come to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and even Wednesday night, but in the reality, their existence is just like a wilderness desert. It's void of any life. It's void of any fruit. It's void of any progression, because it's void of the faith and obedience that it takes to get out of the wilderness and to cross over into Canaan. I don't know about you, but I don't want to just wander through this life. Somebody said it this way: only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. I don't know about you, but I don't just want to drift through this life and wander through this life. I know a man who, when he turned 50 years old, he went out and he bought a whole slew of marbles. And what he did is he bought enough marbles that for every week up to the age of 70. So 20 years worth of marbles, as far as every week, okay? And so you divide 7 into 20 years, whatever that is, and that's how many marbles he bought, okay? And so he had all these marbles. At the end of every week, he'd put another marble in this big jar. And it was a reminder that that time was gone. He would never get it back. The Bible says that the average span of a man is 70 years. He don't know how long he'll live. But if it were 70 years, this is how much time I have left. He began to put that in there. That's not a morbid way to live, by the way. The Bible tells us to redeem the time. I don't want to live and just drift through life with no purpose and no vision and no goals. So how do we stop wandering through this wilderness that we call life and start instead living and possessing the land of Canaan? Other words, gaining and getting all those things the Lord. Let me say this morning. God has all kinds of wonderful blessings and wonderful benefits that he's prepared. Wonderful things that he wants to come into your life and my life, and he wants to pour out upon us. But there are some things that are necessary if we're going to ever see those blessings. I want to give you some of those things this morning. Notice with me in our text, verse number 15 of chapter number 3. So how do we, I want to preach this morning on this thought, how to get out, or how to stop wandering through the wilderness. How to stop wandering through the wilderness. So how do we get out of the wilderness? Number one, it involves a stipulation. Please do not hear this. Here's why so many people are drifting. It involves a stipulation. Verse number 15, the Bible says, if you will hear his voice. While it is said today, watch this, if you will hear his voice. What's this? If there's one thing that the child of God needs to do, if you're going to stop drifting, if you're going to stop wondering, if you're going to stop running in circles, is we need to hear the voice of Almighty God. If you're going to stop wondering and actually gain some direction for your life, you're going to have to tune in and hear the voice of God and get direction from him for your life. The reason that many people never hear his voice is because they don't know how to listen. Something that I've learned just through my life, and especially through what the ministry the Lord's put me in, is how to listen. You got to know how to listen. As much as somebody's speaking is you need to know how to listen. One of the number one questions today among Christians that's asked is, does God really still speak to people? You hear it all the time. Does God really still speak to people? And how can I hear the voice of God? I couldn't tell you the times that a church member or some Christian has said something like this to me. Preacher, I believe God and I know I'm saved and I really want the Lord to speak to me and be part of my life. I've asked God to speak to me, but preacher, I've never heard his voice. I'm not talking about audibly. I'm talking about we know he speaks to our heart. He leads and guides. They said, preacher, I just seem like I'm praying and he's not answering. I ask him things all the time, but it seems like he don't answer. I know God's with me all the time. How can I hear the voice of God? I want to say this morning, there is an art, please listen, there is an art and a very specific way to listening to the voice of God, to hearing the voice of God. And I'm here to tell you that God most definitely does still speak to people. He does still speak to hearts. The problem's not with God speaking. Please hear me. The problem is that in our listening. You got to put yourself in a place where you can hear his voice. And I believe there are three main things that are necessary for us to hear his voice. Number one, you got to be saved. You got to be saved. In John 10:27, the Lord Jesus, if you have a red letter edition Bible, Jesus is speaking there. And in John 10:27, Jesus said this, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Listen, friend, you wonder why God's not speaking to you. You wonder why you can't hear the voice of God. Might be that you're not saved. I don't know your heart. But I'm telling you that one of the things that must have to happen in your life is that you got to be saved if you want to hear the voice of God. He said, my sheep. Now watch this. Man, I don't have time. In those sheepfolds that come, and that shepherd, if it was that city sheepfold, there might be 10 other sheepfolds there in that place. He'd come in the morning, and he'd call out. And when he'd call out, his sheep are the only ones that would come because they knew the name of the shepherd. And I'm saying, God put something deep down inside of us when we get saved by the good grace of God that you've heard his voice before, and you know it when you hear it again. First thing, you got to make sure you're saved. Listen to Romans chapter 8, verse 7. Because the carnal mind, that's the unsaved mind, the fleshly mind. The carnal mind is enmity against God. In other words, they have something against one another. There's enmity against God. For it's not subject, watch this, it's not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. In other words, as a lost person, the reason, listen, you can't hear the voice of God because the Bible says the carnal mind is not subject unto the law of God. That's why the Bible tells us that we have to have the Spirit living inside of us to guide us. That's why the Bible tells us that a lost person cannot read and understand much of the Bible. It doesn't speak to your heart. It never does anything for you. And you think, man, what is all this? It must just be a bunch of history lessons. Listen, as a lost person, you can't hear the voice of God. Not in that manner. Not in that manner. Now God will speak to you about your salvation and he'll urge you and he'll impress upon your heart and show you your need of a Savior and you'll find yourself in your sin and feel guilty. But speaking to you and leading you and guiding you, now I believe God in his mercy and God in his grace sometimes does communicate to lost people. But it's only the good grace of God. And intervenes in their life in order to get their attention and in order to ultimately draw them to salvation. I've known people, and they talked about different instances in their life that no doubt God was in it. And it was His way of leading them to a saving knowledge of salvation. But primarily, God only speaks to His children. John 8:47 says, "He that is of God," watch this, he that is of God heareth God's words. "Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." So the first thing that's got to happen, if you're going to hear the voice of God, you got to be saved. There has to be a relationship there. But while you got to be saved in order to hear the voice of God, listen, everybody who is saved don't necessarily hear the voice of God, because they don't know how to listen for the voice of God. Not only do you got to be saved, watch this, you got to be still. You got to be still. The Bible says this in Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." He says, watch this, "Be still and know that I'm God." In this crazy, chaotic world we live in, we're never quiet, we're never still, we're never hardly get alone with God, and yet we wonder why in the world we can't ever hear His voice. We don't have that quiet time. We don't have that prayer place. We don't have that a place, that time of alone with God, and we wonder why we never hear His voice. Some of the greatest moments of my week are just those quiet times, just those private times with just me and God, whether I just be here at the church by myself or was walking through the building or sitting behind my desk, or whether I'm at some park somewhere sitting alone, or I've made it to some mountaintop somewhere looking over the city, or whatever the case may be. Just those times were just right there, those precious times in my life throughout the week, is those times of alone with God. Because I'm going to tell you something, with the responsibilities that the Lord has given me as a husband, as a father, as a pastor, I need the voice of God in my life for focus and for vision and for direction. And friend, you need it too. I need God's voice for clarity, to make certain that I'm on the right path in all those different roads, as a father, as a pastor, as a husband. We need to make sure that we have the voice of God leading us and directing us. And yet, so many people, they never get still. Never get quiet and alone. And if they are still, the television's on. If they are still, there's some kind of other noise that they've got in the background. I'm talking about, the Bible says this, "Be still and know that I'm God." I can't ever hear His voice. You never get quiet. You never get still. I'm telling you, we've got to get still if you're going to hear from God. In 1 Kings, you can turn there if you like. Quickly, hold your place here. 1 Kings chapter 19. I want you to look at you know the story, I trust. It's there of Elijah, and he's just had that great success, that great victory on Mount Carmel, where he's called the fire down, and God came down and licked up the water in the ditch. And he slew all the prophets of Baal. Great victory. And then he finds out, oh, Jezebel's after his head. And after that great victory, the man of God begins to run from a woman. He's running, he's hiding, and here we find him hiding out in a cave. He's depressed and he's discouraged and he's alone. And he needs to hear from God. In verse number 11 of 1 Kings chapter 19, the Bible says, "And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord." Watch this. "But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire." Watch this. "And after the fire, a still, small." And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" He begins to get direction for his life. But not until he got still. Not until he got quiet. Before refrigerators, people used to use ice houses to preserve their food. How many of you ever had an ice house? Never had an ice house, Brother Wayne? No. Ice houses. She had one back there in the back. And it was, they would take these ice houses, and it was just thick walls with no windows. And had a very tightly fitted floor. And in the winter, when the streams and the lakes were frozen, large blocks of ice would be cut and be carried into these ice houses and covered with sawdust. Often the ice would last all the way up until the summer. One man lost a valuable watch one day while he was working in this ice house. He searched everywhere for it, couldn't find it. Carefully raked the sawdust over and over, looked for it. One of his fellow workers came in and they looked too, but to no avail. They couldn't find this watch. It's a little boy who heard about the watch missing, and so he slipped over there during the lunch hour when everybody was gone. And he soon came out with that watch. He gave it to the man. They were amazed. How in the world did you find it? The boy said this. He said, well, here's what I did. He said, I went in. Nobody was there. It was very quiet, very still. And I closed the door. And I laid down in the sawdust and didn't make a sound. And I heard it ticking. One of the questions that many times, listen, the question this morning, it's not whether God is speaking, but whether or not we're quiet and we're still enough to listen. Yes, Jesus assures us that our Heavenly Father always listens to us. Isn't that a great benefit? He always listens to us, but do we always listen to Him? Do we always get still so we can hear His voice? Sometimes we're in the wilderness. Well, the thing we don't understand is simply this. That when we're in the wilderness, is many times the reason that we're in the wilderness is because God has to get us to a place away from everything else and away from everyone else so that we can hear from Him. He can speak to us. You get out there in the woods. I'm not a big hunter. I just never have been. I'd rather play golf or ride my motorcycle. Still, I am. Some people like hunting. That's fine. But what I do love is just go sit in the woods. Go hiking. I like that. I like being out in the woods. I like being outdoors. I love it. You get out there and you're out in the woods and it just gets quiet. It can get deathly quiet. Well, imagine a wilderness desert. That's what we're talking about here. You got to be saved. You got to be still. Third thing, quickly, you got to be in the Scriptures. You got to be. You going to hear the voice of God? You got to be in the Scriptures. The Bible says this in Romans 10:17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hey, how does that faith manifest in your life? How do you know how to move on? How do you have faith for the journey? How does God lead your life? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Listen, friend, if you're going to hear God's voice, you've got to be in the Word of God. So oftentimes, maybe we even pray. Listen, we speak to God in prayer. That's how we talk to Him, is that we pray. And thank God, I know even sometimes He speaks to us back in prayer. But more often, the way God speaks to us is He speaks to us in His Word that's living and breathing, and it's alive, and it's for every single need that you have. And so God speaks to us through His Word. And I'm saying that if you're going to hear the voice of God, you better get in the Word of God. I want you to listen to this description of God's Word. And I want you to see the part that it plays in speaking into your life. Hebrews 4:12, you can turn this just one page over if you like. Hebrews 4:12, watch this. For the Word of God, watch this, is quick. That word quick means life-giving. Life-giving. For the Word of God is quick. Listen to this description. And powerful. And sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing. Even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, if that doesn't sound like something that can get your attention, I don't know what does. If that doesn't sound like something that'll impact your life, I don't know what does. It says, watch this, it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. In other words, God works in your heart and speaks to your heart. How? Through His Word. You want to hear the voice of God? Get in the Scriptures. I just never hear God answering me. Listen, you can pray and pray and pray. You don't let God get a word in edgewise. How many times have I prayed, been praying for a certain situation, and it just so happens, by the way, things don't just so happen, but it just so happens that my reading that morning, for whatever reason, whether I'm studying on something, whether it's my daily reading, whatever, just so happens to be in a place that deals with that very thing I've been praying about. And God leads me and guides me and directs me, and we know what way to go. What happened? I heard the voice of God. You and I are going to have to decide and determine to get still. We're going to have to decide and determine to get in the Scriptures and make an honest effort to hear God's voice of what He says, if we want to hear what He says. We got to hear His voice. All those children of Israel were doing, think about it, they were just going in circles. They were just walking in circles. I'm talking about 40 years, friend. It was an 11-day journey. Going in circles, but they wouldn't listen to the voice of God. They wouldn't hearken unto Him, so for 40 years He never showed them the way out. They didn't listen to His voice. You want to get out of the wilderness? You've got to hear the voice of God. The reason they never got any closer, the reason they never go any further, is because they simply don't hear the voice of God. Because of it, their marriage wonders. Because of it, watch this, their family wonders. They don't have any direction. Because of it, their faith wonders. Because of it, their finance wonders. They're not hearing the voice of God. Everything in their life is just wondering and has no direction. They themselves wake up one day wondering what went wrong. Wondering what happened. And they find themselves years down the road, but not at all the place they thought they would be or they expected to be, because they never heard His voice. We should be listening and looking for the direction from God for our life. Let me tell you what Revelation 3:20, Jesus is speaking again. He says this, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Watch this. "If any man will hear my voice." Stipulation. If any man will hear my voice. Listen to what Jesus says He'll do. "If any man will hear my voice and open the door," He says, "I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." That's a relationship. That's a fellowship. That's a daily walk. God says, we'll have that. We'll have that fellowship. I'll talk to you and you'll talk to me. I'll come into him and sup with him and he with me. There'll be that relationship in your life. You'll hear from God, and God hears from you when? If any man hear my voice. First thing we got to do is hear the voice of God. Man, I got to hurry. It involves a stipulation. Secondly, it involves a season. Go back with me to our text of Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 15. Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 15. Not only does it involve a stipulation, it involves a season. Watch this. Don't miss this, please. While it is said, underline this word, today. Today. The season. When do we need to hear His voice? Today. When do we need to take charge? Today. When do we need to make a move? Today. Three times in this passage alone, the writer of Hebrews, in verse number 7, in verse number 13, and in verse number 15, he says, today. Today. There are way too many people who spend all their life wallowing in yesterday's failures or dreaming and waiting of a better tomorrow. And God says, we have today. Today. I want you to do it. It's today that we need to hear the voice of God, what He says. Doesn't mean that we're not to listen to the voice of God tomorrow, but it means that God expects for us to listen to Him, expects for us to listen to Him today. I said earlier that if you're saved, God has a plan for your life. But I want to say, if you're not saved this morning, God still has a plan for your life. It's God's plan and God's will that you get saved. The Bible says He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you're not saved this morning, oh, listen, God, listen, the Bible says this, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God so loved the world. He loves you. He has a plan for you. He died for you just as much as He died for me. And He's not willing any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And it's God's will, first of all, you get saved. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 2, it says, "Now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation." Today, right now, is when God wants to save your soul and change your life. In Isaiah 1:18, the Bible says this, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they can be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they can be as wool." In Isaiah 55 and verse number 6, the Bible says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near." Hey friend, you'll never get out of the wilderness that you're in until you first make peace with God. until you first sell out and give your life to the Lord, and you can get out of that wilderness. It's crucial that we understand the importance of taking care today. When you get saved, that's when your life takes a turn for the better. This principle doesn't just apply to salvation. It applies to service. Maybe somebody's sitting on the fence. You're saved. You know that you ought to be doing some things, but you're not doing the things you know you ought to be doing. That God would not save you and have you just sitting, but there's something you can do. You say, "Preacher, I can't run a bus. Preacher, I can't preach. Preacher, I can't teach. Preacher," listen, there's something that God wants to use you to do that is not being done right here at Crossroads Baptist Church. I can promise you that. Just make yourself available and say, "Hey, today I'm going to serve." Somebody today, maybe God's speaking to you about sacrifice. You've not made the sacrifice that you need to make. I was speaking with somebody recently, and even with Carter, who was going through the story of when Abraham took his son Isaac up that mountain, and explaining to him this simple truth, that yes, God asked Abraham to take Isaac up that mountain and sacrifice him. My Lord, Isaac's walking up the mountain. He says, "Father, I see the wood and I see the fire, but where's the sacrifice?" Isaac was the sacrifice. He has him on that altar and has that knife raised up above him. And God, the Lord, prepared himself a sacrifice. That you remember that ram thicket, that lamb was there, and Isaac, and Abraham didn't have to give up his Isaac. Let me say this. God don't want your Isaac. But he does want all of you. He wanted to make sure he had all of Abraham. He wasn't interested in Isaac. What's that you need to sacrifice today? Not tomorrow. Not some other day. Not when you get enough. Not when you have more. But today. Maybe it's submission. Today. You see, we put all these things off. Salvation. Well, I'll have tomorrow and I'll do it another day. Oh, you think about the man, he said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Felix, wasn't it, that said, "Come back at a more convenient time." The Bible doesn't record that Felix ever got saved. And I'm going to tell you this, if Felix never did get saved, he's crying out in hell today, and he would to God he had another today. The present is the only time that you and I have to work with. The past is gone, and there's no guarantee of the future as far as this earth is concerned. What you should do now. So what is it you should do? John Greenleaf Whitmer said this. He said, "For of all sad words of tongue or pen, the saddest are these, what might have been." I'll never forget a man. He came in probably 3 or 4 years ago, and he sat back almost about where Brother Bill's sitting. Sat there through the service. Listen, I saw him through the service kind of getting restless. I saw him begin to weep. He was an older gentleman, probably in his 60s. He told me how old he was. I don't remember. He came to me after the service and wanted to talk to me. He said, "Pastor," he said, "I wasted my life." He began to tell me how that he had surrendered to preach as a young man, and God, he was on fire, and God was really dealing with him. And through different circumstances, he started selling Amway insurance. He got caught up in making money. I got out of the will of God, he said, and I began to just do that and get more involved and more involved in that. And I walked away the whole time knowing what God had me to do. He said, "The whole time you were sitting there preaching," he said, "I knew that should have been me." What we have is today. I want to live a life of no regrets. We see it involves a stipulation. I'm talking about you're going to get out of the wilderness. Just stop wandering today. It involves a stipulation. You got to hear the voice of God. It involves a season today. And then notice it involves a submission. Notice what he says back in our text. While it's said today, if you'll hear his voice, watch what he says. Harden not your hearts. In other words, when God speaks, not only listen, but act. There is a movement that has to take place here. There's a movement required. You think about when you tell your children to do something. Go clean your room. Go take out the trash. You better not be sitting there when I come back through here. Because I told you to do something, right? Don't you sew up and say, "I'm not doing that. I'm not going there." Right? Harden not your hearts. Harden not your hearts. Listen, I'm going to say, child of God, don't you get stiff-necked on God. Don't you rebel against God. And in the wilderness of your heart that none of us want to admit that's there, oh, that void place, that dark place inside of our life, that rebellious spirit that we all still have because we still have the old carnal flesh. Listen, don't you, in the wickedness of that heart that we don't want to admit that's there, please listen this morning, in the wickedness of a hard heart, don't you say, I don't care what the Bible says. I don't care what God says. I don't care what that preacher says, I'm going to do it my way. Don't you do that. There's a warning. Harden not your hearts. God says, don't you harden your heart toward my will and toward my word. In Hebrews chapter 3 here in our text, look at me at verses 9 and 10. He says, when your fathers tempted me, proved me and saw my works 40 years. They seen what I did. 40 years I led them by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. 40 years I fed them. 40 years I protected them. He said, they proved me, saw my words. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation. Why? He said, they do always err in their heart. Heart of the problem is the heart. The problem is not that we don't know. It's not what we don't know. The problem is not what we have not heard, because we know and we've heard. The problem is that we've hardened our heart toward the Word of God. We've hardened our heart toward the voice of God. You know when the Lord's dealing with you. You know when the Lord's convicting you. But watch this. We've come to a place where we've gotten so cold and so indifferent and our conscience have gotten so seared that we don't even hear the voice of God. And just continue right on in that sin. Continue right on in that disobedience to God, not obeying what He wants you to do. Continue right on in that wrong spirit with that critical attitude, whatever it is. And you harden your heart and refuse to change. I want to tell you what a dangerous thing that is. Somebody said that we're educated far beyond our obedience. I've said this before. We're as far as most Christians today, especially most of you, many of you that grew up in church and you've been taught right since your birth and all that. You know what we are? We're spiritually obese. We're spiritually fatsoes. That's what we are, because we just gain and gain and gain and pile up and pile on information and knowledge and wisdom of God, and we sit on our hands and do nothing with it. James 1:22 says, but be ye doers of the word. And not hearers only. Watch this. Deceiving your own selves. Can I just tell you that it's real easy for us to deceive ourselves that we're doing all right. We know, just because we know, listen, knowing's not doing. You can know everything this book says that we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to act. You can know that God didn't, it's not His will to leave you in the wilderness, but it's His will to carry you on in to Canaan and to have a glorious life. I'm talking about health, wealth, and fame. I'm talking about that, watch this. God said, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Can I tell you, there is a life of peace. There is a life of joy. There is a life of satisfaction. And it's only found right in the center of the will of Almighty God. And we've deceived ourselves if we think that we can get it any other way. He goes on in James 1:23, for if any be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Watch this. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. The one that looks in the Word of God and continues there, and he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the Word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I wonder how many people are here this morning that feels like you're just wandering through the wilderness. You're just drifting through life. It's just another day. It's just another dollar. It's just another activity. And there's no real goal. And there's no real excitement, and there's no real glory that the Lord is getting out of your life. If you want out, you've got to hear His voice. And in order to hear His voice, you've got to be saved. In order to hear His voice, you got to be still. In order to hear His voice, you got to be in the Scriptures. Not only do you got to hear His voice, but you got to hear His voice today. Today, He says. Right now. This moment. Don't put it off another second. And then if you want to get out of the wilderness, you've got to submit to His Word and His will. Don't you heart, when you hear His voice and you hear it today, don't you soar up and say, Lord, I'm not doing that. I'm not going there. My life is my life and I want my way. If we'd ever get to the place where we want what we want for our life, where we want what He wants for our life more than we want what we want for our life. You got to hear His voice today. God's working today. Then if you want to get out of the wilderness, you've got to submit to His will. Submit your life to God. Listen, He'll take you to places that you never imagined. Listen to me. And this isn't the end all of everything. Praise God. Hey, I believe it is a very noble, a very honorable position to even lead a Bible study, do anything in the house of God. This isn't the end all of everything. But I can tell you this, that the reason that I'm standing up here this morning and the reason that I'm here today is because there was a time in my life that I said, oh God, I want to hear Your voice. And then when I heard it, I said, Lord, I surrender all. I submit to Your will for my life. Can I tell you this? If that day never happened in 2007, if that day never happened, I'd still be wondering. I'd be at church. No doubt in my mind, I'd still be in church. I'd still be doing things in church. But as far as God is concerned, I'd be in the wilderness. Because He had a different plan for my life. Maybe not the same plan He has for your life. You got to submit to His will. If you're tired of wasting your life and walking in circles, then submit your life to God. He'll take you places that you never even imagined. But God never uses anybody until they first submit, until they first surrender. There are so many people that are waiting on God to use them, waiting on God to do something, waiting on God to speak to them and take them to new heights. But all they've ever had is a partial surrender. Listen to me, I can tell you by experience, it's not until there is a total surrender that takes place in your life and you say, here am I, Lord, send me. It's not until that time that the Lord is going to carry you up out of that wilderness and do something with your life. Harden not your heart. By the way, it says in the day of provocation. That's talking about provoking the Lord. When we harden our hearts, it provokes the Lord. Does he? He says, I was grieved with them because they do always err. And you know what he said? Watch this. We sung the song this morning. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. He said, verse number 19, they'll not enter into my rest because of their unbelief. They didn't trust me for what I had for them. Let's stand for prayer this morning. Listen, life's too short. This thing's winding down. I'm talking about the wheels are falling off. I mean, it don't take a genius to see that. We can all see that, listen, this thing's, I believe with all my heart, the Lord is coming back and He's coming back soon. I don't want to spend, listen, I don't want to spend the part I've spent serving the Lord and going on for God and then at the end of it all fall off the track. I want to still be going strong when Jesus comes. Maybe you haven't been that one. Maybe you've been walking around or wandering around in the wilderness. You can get out today. He says today, if you'll hear His voice. Today, if you'll hear His voice, God has somewhere He wants to take you. They were supposed to be going to Canaan. You'll remember Canaan land was the land that floweth with milk and honey. Canaan land was the land that through the grapes overtook two men to carry them out. Canaan land was the land that was covered with all the blessings of God. But so many people never see it because they never hear His voice. Maybe somebody's here this morning, you're not saved. You don't know the Lord is your Savior. There's never been a time in your life that you've recognized that you're a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. Maybe there's never been a time that you've recognized I'm a sinner. And the wages of sin is death. That means the price, the payment, the penalty for sin, it's death. That speaks of a death in a devil's hell. Wages of sin is death, but it goes on and says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That you've never recognized that and bowed your head and bowed your heart and bowed your knee before a holy God and said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I don't want to sin anymore. I want you to forgive my sin, come into my heart, come into my life, be my Savior. Take me to heaven when I die. If you've never done that, today is the day. Today, harden not your heart. Today, you can get saved. And then if you have, maybe you need to make a commitment and make a time, make a plan that you're going to get still so you can hear the voice of God. You got to be saved, but you got to be still. Maybe you've had that saved time and salvation experience and you've had that still time, but you have not had that scripture time that needs to be in your life, and God can't direct you because you never hear from Him. Whatever it is this morning, you come do business with the Lord all over the building while we sing. You come.
382.